Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay, breaking down everything going on in the world of mixed martial arts. Been a busy couple of weeks, but none as busy as the last 7 days, as we had a fight on Saturday. The Ultimate Fighter returned on Tuesday, and we have a fight tomorrow night live in Chicago. I will be on site and live tweeting from the whole thing. So
you're going to be hanging out with Jon Jones, right?
That's the rumor anyway, from the press release that they gave us all, is that John Jones.
You're going to that show?
I am.
Sweet.
So that'll be happening tomorrow night. You can follow the tweets at Wow Show or on Facebook at Wow Show as well.
Is that a spoiler alert you're just doing right now?
Yes, that is a spoiler. Yes, letting you know that.
Yes, Twitter will spoil UFC results during live shows.
Yes.
Warning.
Warning, I'm going to tell you what's happening as it happens on television.
As it happened. Well, there's always that delay, though. You know
yes.
what I mean?
So. All right.
Eight seconds.
It was a big, big night on Saturday night, UFC on FX7. Nearly 2 million viewers, and between the UFC and Iron Man 2, literally won every male demographic on TV on Saturday night. A big night, and a big night for Fuel. Almost 300,000 viewers on the prelims. So we're inching closer, Ken, to what they wanted out of this Fox deal, is a lot of eyeballs on some properties that may not have been as en fuego, if you will, as, let's say, Fox proper.
Well, as much as FX is a big network and a popular network, and they've got Justified, and they've got all these other shows that are very popular, and they're doing drama very well, and they've got comedies like Always Sunny, and they're on the map, can anybody ever tell me what was on FX on Saturday night? No. So they've been able to establish a beachhead now on this network, and 2 million viewers, I mean, hell, that's almost UFC on Fox territory sometimes.
For some of them, certainly.
The big broadcast network, one of the big four. So those are outstanding numbers. I think what happened is when you have such a good main event, and by that I don't mean the fight itself before, because we don't know what's going to happen before it happens, but you have a good main event in where there's real ramifications. Michael Bisping could get a number one title shot, a number one contendership, and get himself a title shot.
Right.
You've got a guy who's held a couple of belts in the past, and really has only lost to the champions in the two divisions in UFC that he fights in Vitor Belfort, and was in a pay-per-view headlining match last time around. When you have a main fight like that, I'm not going to call the rest of the card filler, but it's not guys that we would necessarily care about as much as those two. When you get a couple guys in there, I mean, that could have easily, I think, headlined a UFC on Fox type of show, too.
Sure, and Sean, what Ken's referring to is the rest of that card was essentially one guy from Brazil and then another dude. So there was a lot of people, especially kicking off the card, which I thought was a great fight with Nurmagomedov and Tavares, but nobody knew who either one of those guys were. So 2 million people to tune in to watch this fight is a huge, huge number.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you watch that fight, he gets dropped, you know, by
Tavares.
Tavares gets dropped, and that's a good way to start it off like that.
Yeah, it started off with fireworks, man.
Well here we go. We got ourselves a knockout.
You're not going to mispronounce Nurmagomedov's name anymore.
No, never will I mispronounce his name. I mean, we were talking about this right before you got here to do the show. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody with that kind of killer instinct, and I'm not trying to make Nurmagomedov into a world beater just yet, but very rarely, and you as a coach and a fighter can speak to this more than we can, very rarely do you see a guy who gets in the ground and pound position and forgets punches, goes straight to elbows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the elbows, the short elbows or the post elbows, I mean.
Is that what it's called, the post elbow?
Yeah, the post elbow.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I think you saw a little glimpse of that with the Ultimate Fighter. Jon Jones stood up and he was like, hey, whoever
yeah.
that, you know,
yeah, yeah.
elbows quick, fast, you know, you just post your elbows, you know, so.
But to that point, this kid didn't know that. John had to tell him. So,
yeah.
But Nurmagomedov, it was like.
Yeah, it was instinct, you know. And so it just goes back to, you know, great training, you know. I mean, the guy, he was definitely prepared. Tavares is no joke. I mean, he did get dropped by Shane Roller back in the day.
Yep.
And Shane's not really known for KO power. But, I mean, you know, maybe his chin's a little bit weak now because he's been dropped a few times now. So,
or as a fan, I would say that I'm glad to see that there's some new blood
heading
into 155 that are
definitely
serious.
Well, his
killers.
T-shirt at weigh-ins was awesome.
Yes, his T-shirt. If you missed the weigh-ins, his T-shirt said, because Tavares being Brazilian and being a Brazilian jiu-jitsu advocate, his shirt said, if Sambo were easy, it would be called Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
And he walked to the front of the stage.
You got to love that,
in front of 20,000 Brazilians with it. So if that didn't show you the guy was going to be some type of force, I don't know what would.
So we get to the main event, and we've got Vitor Belfort, who, if he wins, I don't know what happens. And if Michael Bisping wins, Bisping gets to face Anderson Silva. Vitor Belfort came out clearly on the same meal plan that Alistair Overeem may or may not have been
on. Yeah, I was going to say, he looked a little bit more shredded, right?
Just a little bit.
Come on, really?
I mean, he was – dude, this dude is ripped up, man.
Yeah, but he's fighting at 185 this time. Last
time
he fought at 205.
Well, then how do you explain that bipolar – post-fight interview in the cage, he just flips out on Chael Sonnen.
I mean, he really just flipped. It had a lot of roid rage at the end of it. I mean, if you didn't think he was on roids when he got in the cage, certainly at the end where he wanted to fight Jesus and Chael Sonnen, there's some stuff going on.
When the Holy Spirit is inside of you and wants to come out
and fight you
through your mouth and call out maybe Chael Sonnen or maybe John Jones, we don't know who was calling out who, you can't stop it. You can't test for Jesus. That's all I know.
You know what I like the most?
I think his tests are going to be fine.
When a guy wins and they want to thank Jesus or God for the KO, do you really think God wants you to KO your fellow man?
I don't know.
Think about it, guys. I want to thank Jesus for giving me that left roundhouse kick to the head, and I got, you know,
somebody
KO'd
God
tonight.
Would like knocked out, though, I would have to believe it would be Michael Bisping. So wow. We'll just say that.
I would say it would be Brock Lesnar, in my opinion.
So what do we do? What do we do with Vitor at this point?
Well, man, you know that it sucks because Michael was guaranteed a shot if he won, and Vitor, like you said last week, and nothing for Vitor.
Well,
he's called out John Jones again too on top of the Chael fight.
I think, you know, he wants a more time to prep for John Jones. And man, Vitor, if you get it this time, and if you get that armbar, don't let it go. You know, just don't let it go.
Here's the interesting thing, and he may be the smartest guy in the room with his ramblings and actually calling out two guys by accident at the same time. Have we gotten through a season of The Ultimate Fighter with both coaches intact and healthy at the end in about 5 years?
I believe once we did that.
So somebody's going to need a fight at the end of The Ultimate Fighter. It's going to be either Chael Sonnen or John Jones needs to fight if one of those two gets injured. Who is
well,
at the
if he's
top
calling
of that
out
list?
You know what? Maybe Vitor's. Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Again, I'm starting to agree with this guy. What's going on with that?
You have a built-in fight all of a sudden.
Dude.
A guy who was on TV with 2 million people watching essentially called out both those dudes. You can plug him into a fight with either guy if you lose either one of those guys. Their camps probably start in, what, another month? Because this is a pre-tape season. So
they fight in April, right?
Yes, April.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they haven't started, you know, yet lightly training, they're going to start a full camp. Either of those guys gets injured, you got Vitor Belfort. Tell me you wouldn't pay. Take my money now for either of those fights. Belfort against John Jones or Belfort against Chael Sonnen. Take my money now.
I'll pay for those. I'm with you on the Sonnen. I don't know that I want to see it again with the Jones. I don't know the Jones.
Yeah, I want to see the Sonnen fight.
I don't know if Jones get caught again.
Sonnen gets injured, though, is all I'm saying. Who else is going to go in there that you would like to see?
How do you get injured if you're on the LT therapy? You know, you'll be fine.
TRT doesn't keep things healthy. It just makes you...
Does he have one of the exemptions?
Well, your recovery time's a lot faster.
It certainly is. So Vitor gets KO of the night, and we're stuck with poor Michael Bisping, who every single time he gets to the doorstep of the castle gets conked on the head with a giant hammer.
It reminds me of, like, Kenny Florian. Remember that guy?
Exactly. At least Kenny would get to the bout, though. Kenny would get to the title bout, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And then he would choke.
I mean, that to me is a little bit more admirable than every single time I go, hey, all you got to do is show up to work one more time.
Well, of course, after the fight, too, Chris Weidman's pretty happy.
Yes, Chris Weidman.
He's tweeting about it.
Luke Rockhold, really happy.
Uh-huh.
Although I and Ariel Helwani and I believe Luke Thomas, two other MMA writers, vocally disagreed with the MMA community on Saturday night. But I'm kind of hip to, if we're jumping to the Anderson, what do we do with Anderson Silva? I like the Anderson-Rashad theory that's out there right now.
Yeah. And, you know, if Rashad does beat Little Nog, then that should give Anderson some motivation. Be like, all right, you know, you beat up on my jits, you know, master here.
Right.
Now I'm going to show you what it's really about. And I think he will murder a shot.
Sure he will, but that's a more interesting fight to me than, let's say, Luke Rockhold coming over from Strikeforce. I get the tie-in champ, first champ. Even Weidman, who's undefeated in the UFC and has earned that shot, still doesn't have the clout that I think you need to put in there with Anderson Silva. You need to build
We've talked about this before, though. Can't Anderson Silva carry a pay-per-view by himself?
Of course he can, but you tell me, Ken Evans, look me in the eye right now and tell me you wouldn't rather see the Rashad fight.
I would rather see that fight.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe the situation, if we want to stay within the UFC mindset here, I think we can knock down a couple of fights here that we need to get done. Michael Bisping, why doesn't he fight Chris Weidman? And then if Chris Weidman wins, he gets the number one contendership.
And Michael Bisping gets nothing.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
That'll
stay within the plan the UFC has set up and works so well in getting these title fights
but
done.
But if Anderson can carry a pay-per-view now, and then Rashad is one of the top guys for the pay-per-view.
What, top three for pay-per-view of all time?
So, I mean, why not double
dip
on
that's
that?
Of course. That would be a great stadium show, and that would be a great big pay-per-view. I mean, 4th of July, maybe. Maybe
but
that's
you,
what we're looking at.
Sure.
I agree with you, but if you can't get that fight done or you need to have Anderson fight a couple of times, I think it's okay to trust him in there with either Weidman or Rockhold at this point to carry a pay-per-view.
In theory, yes, but you saw on Saturday night Anderson backpedaling a little bit on the story about the 10-fight contract. No, I don't have a 10-fight contract.
Yeah, what was that about? That was a direct quote from Dana inside the media scrum 2 weeks ago.
What that is about, in my mind, is I don't want to fight Rockhold or Weidman. That's stupid. Just give me fights that matter. I want to fight Rashad at a stadium. I want to fight John Jones at a stadium, GSP at a stadium, and then let's talk.
Yeah,
if those two guys are interesting at that point, let's do that.
Well, let's talk stadiums then, if we need to get this fight done with Anderson Silva. You're telling me if we put him in a soccer stadium, the promised match inside Brazil against Luke Rockhold, you think the whole country shows up when the Ultimate Fighters from Brazil show up.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, you can trust that to make you a lot of money in Brazil with Anderson Silva. And tell me you can't make that a huge spectacle. The American champion, Luke Rockhold, coming to Brazil to fight our champion. That's going to sell a million tickets down there. They can sell all the tickets they want. They can put Anderson into the soccer stadium that he always wants to be in. And you still have a nice, tidy pay-per-view profit in the U.S.
The way I look at it is if Anderson can get Rashad Evans, I would love to see Anderson. Because anytime when Rashad loses, I'm always happy. But if he can, like, murder Rashad, then he can kind of – because he'll never fight John Jones from what he says, right? So if he really puts Rashad away, and then he can kind of look at Jones and be like, look what I just did. When you fought him, you had – you know, you couldn't put him away. You knocked him down, blah, blah, blah. Like, I knocked this dude out. He's done. You know, here's his papers. He can go home now.
And I'm not disagreeing that I want
to
see that fight.
Or go to 170.
Right.
But I'm saying if we're looking at what's next and we have to have Rashad still fight tomorrow night and we still have to see where he is, you know, is he going to jump right from this to a cut so he can fight a champion? He hasn't beat the champion in his own division. I think looking at the situation, we've got a couple of viable fights for Anderson Silva that we could go to before we need to put Rashad in there. And maybe that's a good fight. Tell me you wouldn't buy Rashad and Bisping, you know, fighting each other. I know they've done some training
together. Those
are two
guys together I really don't like, so that's like choosing between the two lesser.
But don't you think, Ken, if you're dealing with this stadium in Brazil, the soccer stadium, this 100,000-person event that we're making, wouldn't the UFC want that also to scale to pay-per-view? Like, you would want to sell 100,000 tickets and then 1 million or 2 million pay-per-view buys.
I think
and you get that
you put
with
a couple,
Rashad.
You do get that with Rashad, but I think they have a couple of goals here. And they need to give Anderson that. It seems like that's just a promise that's been made ever since he took on Chow and they moved it back to the US.
Right.
So they need to get that fight done for Anderson. They need to do it, but I don't know if they necessarily need to waste a fight to do that in Brazil. Yeah, you're going to want it to scale up, but it's going to scale up automatically. When you start talking about 100,000 people, when you start talking about champion versus champion, if we use Rockhold, I think you can make a fight there and make a money-making fight there, and then you could do that. You could put Anderson and Rashad in a stadium. They still want to do Cowboy Stadium.
Sure.
Let's not forget that. And you're going to need a fight like that for Cowboy Stadium.
Bisping and Rashad would need to be a co-main event because that right there, there's no title on the line. So I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying.
Pay-per-view-wise, I wouldn't buy it.
Well,
you know,
put them on the same card.
There you go.
Make it a super card if you want there.
Like the crazy card in March that's every welterweight that the UFC has.
I mean, and
fighting on one night.
They're leaning more toward that. Dana said that a couple weeks ago. That was specifically done that way, the way that cards have been falling apart in the UFC. They want to have a lot of guys in one weight class essentially featured on cards. And when they do that, they'll know that guys are coming out of camps, that guys are fighting, that they can take another fight if necessary. And that gives Rashad a chance to prove himself at 185, gives Bisping another fight. I mean, I don't know what you do with Bisping if he wins his next 5-10 fights, unless Anderson Silva retires at some point. Because he's still going to have to win however many fights and then probably beat Vitor Belfort again before he can even sniff it. And, you know, he's a guy, I don't necessarily say I liked him over his career, but I can certainly respect how long he's been around. I mean, how many fights does he have? He has 27 inside.
And he was like 14 right. and 0 when he first got right. to the UFC. So he's been in the company for like 7-8
yeah,
years.
Yeah, he's getting older. I don't know if he's going to get near that title again. So, I mean, he can make big money on some of those fights. That's just where I see it. I see Anderson Silva right now. I've been the guy that always says, hey, make the money with the fight you can make right now. And Anderson Silva, yeah, you got to do some massaging. You got to do a lot of negotiating with him. But tell me if you don't you don't even need to name the fighter. Just offer him that stadium deal. I think you've got Anderson Silva ready to go in a pay-per-view.
All right, when we come back, The Ultimate Fighter is back. We will talk about that, and we head to Fox. Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson, the Flyweight Championship is up, and it's free on TV this weekend. It's Way of the Warrior.